Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners. And I'm looking out over a gray seascape here. It's sort of heavy green trees on the verge, and then a little bit of ocean, and then Vancouver Island, and all with cloud cover. So it's a dull day.
Do you have any snow left from the storm a week and a half ago?
No, it's all gone except for where somebody plowed it up and built humps, you know, but it's all gone.
Yes, yeah. Vancouver Snow Removal Service is called RAIN.
Yes.
Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention today. The first one, housing demand vaporized as rates hit 7%.
Oh, yeah. And some people had mortgages maybe at 2.5% or 3%, and they didn't lock them in. And then that suddenly, bang, it goes up. I can remember England 30 years ago or something like that. Their mortgage rates went up and down with market rates. And when the market rates went up, the real estate suffered. So, no, it's also, it's a sign of extreme violence in the financial markets to have rates increase so quickly.
Do you think the central banks are right to raise rates so high, so fast to fight inflation? Because I've heard it takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years for an interest rate hike to really be felt in the economy. So 2 years from now, they really will have kicked us in the ghoulies, as we say in the soccer business.
That's standard thinking, yeah. Jim. In a boom, short rate interest rates such as T-bills go up, and the central bank, either Bank of Canada or Federal Reserve, have no choice other than to go up themselves. And then at some point, the boom peaks, and the interest rates go down, and then the Fed follows them down. So the Fed really doesn't set interest rates. It's financial markets set the interest rates.
Yes, I think Hilliard Macbeth told us that long-term set mortgage rates were actually coming down because they're reacting to the bond market, not the central banks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we've had a really terrific bond rally, you know, the T-bond future, up about 10 points. But actually, the action became so hot, it gave our, we got upside exhaustions in it and sequentials and everything else. So the rally, last week, the bonds were up, about 8 points, and the advice was to sell half the position, and then they eventually up, I think it was fully 10 points, and so yesterday's piece advised people to take the trade and get out of it. It's been a real winner, and actually the bond prices sold off here today, so. But that's what you get from time to time. All of a sudden, a certain sector becomes very popular, and whoosh, away it goes. And then it gets too much, and down it goes again. So,
headline, gloomiest in a decade, U.S. manufacturing into contraction.
Yeah, that's one of those ISM or whatever they are, manufacturing index things. And it looks as if somebody pulled the pin on that one. And but we're in two extraordinaries out there, Jim. One is that we have been in a classic great financial bubble. The full mania has been on, but it was interrupted by the COVID scare where governments around the world shut down everything. And So you've got wild things going on with, you know, trashing commodities, and then they go straight up and all this sort of stuff. And then now what you had is the authorities around the world shut down everything, so there's less of everything. And then they turned on the money taps. And then there was lots of money chasing things, and the biggest scare about inflation since back in 1980, when that huge inflationary boom blew itself out. So, you know, as an old-timer in the markets here, Jim, I'm fascinated by the action out there. But when you've got the right technical tools and the right sort of cast on the market, there's not been too many surprises, the extraordinary moves. But this is where technical analysis comes in so good, and you can determine extremely oversold positions or extremely overbought. Ideal for nimble traders, but for investors, very difficult. So, but yeah, U.S. manufacturing into now a contraction.
Headline, Blackstone to limit withdrawals from giant real estate fund.
Oh, yeah. Blackstone is very big, and they have moved to limit withdrawals by people who have put their funds into Blackstone. Hmm. And this is just a polite way of saying that there's possibly a little run on deposits at Blackstone. You got to say it what it is. Investors are wanting, or let's call them depositors, like it was a bank. Depositors are wanting to get their money out. And with fractional reserve banking, the money is always laid out somewhere else. So they have trouble getting it back. And this one, Jim, is a really classic sign of the early stages of a serious financial contraction. Yep, when they start measuring out, slowing the payment of, or payments out to depositors, that's a very bad sign.
Should we be worried about our bank deposits in regular banks?
No, yeah. The big banks in Canada are really quite, quite strong, and I wouldn't worry about that. I might worry about deposits at, you know, savings and loan societies or, you know, whatever. So
if you had a chartered bank, you're okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, up to $100,000 okay so far.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the 1930s, the bust, the U.S. banking system was crazy with independent banks all over the country. And they didn't have huge banks with branches all over the country. So they were shutting, banks were failing in the U.S. in the 1930s, you know, hundreds, tens, thousands of banks in a couple of years. In Canada, you had the four or five main huge banks, and you didn't have the same situation. They remained solvent. Maybe they shut down branches in communities in the prairies that had a terrible bust, but you didn't have the same problem in Canada. You've got a much more sound banking system.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, Apple making plans to move production out of China. Well, we saw the riots there at the world's biggest iPhone plant, 200,000 people locked inside.
Yeah.
And they're also claiming they haven't been paid. So you have labor unrest, COVID unrest. China doesn't look like the best place to do business anymore.
No, I think the uprisings, protests could be formidable over time. You've got the condition whereby the prosperity is in the southern comes from the southern provinces, which were highly influenced, of course, by Hong Kong and Taiwan. And then you got the communist government up north in Peking, and hey, they let the party roll, because they're probably all putting money in their own pockets anyways. And but when the bust comes, and it's underway in China, you're going to run into a situation where Peking will be demanding money, and the southern provinces are going to say, stiff you. And I think this is going to happen. There will be a popular uprising in China that will be successful. It'll be like the it reminds of the popular uprising in late 1989 when East Germans tore down the Berlin Wall. I mean, that was really something. So it could get even more exciting as the economy gets worse.
And of course, those protesters, according to the video I've seen, they were chanting bad things about the leader, Xi.
Yes.
So it wasn't just, you know, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
A billion unhappy people can't be a nice thing to govern pleasantly.
Yeah, yeah. And we might add, though, that 1.2 billion Chinese can't all be Wong.
Some of them might be Wu.
Could be. Yep.
Headline, China's safest credit in worst sell-off since 2017.
Yep, that's saying that their investment-grade credits are in a disaster. And that also is part of a post-bubble contraction. Yeah, yeah.
Headline, investors yank money from commercial property funds. Is it because of all those?
In the States from the Wall Street Journal. And people are starting to take their money out of, as it says, in this case, commercial property funds. And then you've got the headline that we did earlier where Blackstone was limiting withdrawals from their giant real estate fund. So, Jim, this is classic post-bubble stuff where people start scrambling for liquidity and they're just, you know, the problem with, say, Blackstone or these investors yank money from commercial property funds, where do they get the cash to give to their investors? So they have to start rationing it out and hopefully hope that things get offside and that let's call them again, depositors, stop wanting to get their money out. But when you're in a contraction, cash, liquidity becomes more important than the previously highly speculated items. So again, this is not new. I've found it in the literature going way back, whether it was, I think in the 1616 crash, that was one of the cases. There was you had in London the merchant banks, and they suffered, but also there was a major broker, and they were in trouble, and this was later, because it was the Bank of England, so it must have been the early 1700s. And before the bank could move, the very premier broker in London had failed. It was, the money just goes, just like that, so.
Well, we have all these empty office towers because a lot of people still didn't return from work at home. And people who have gone back to the office have told me they're working with a bunch of strangers. In 2.5 years, there's been staff turnover, and they expect to see all their former business buddies, and they've moved on to other jobs or retired or, in some cases, died.
Well, I saw a TV clip of people protesting in, or maybe it was Toronto, and they had placards up, and it was something to do with having to go into work.
Yes.
and they wanted to do their work from remote, which was all right during COVID, but there's very few people, I think, have got the, unless they're, you know, running their own show, that I don't think you get the discipline that you get when you're in an actual office environment. I don't know. It's been many, many decades since I worked in an office environment.
Well, when you stop commuting and work from home and then start to commute again, you realize how much of your day is wasted in traffic.
Oh, yeah. And yep. That was the thing about working at home. I've been working at home since 1980. All you do is get up and put your comfy clothes on and get in your office and you're at work.
Yeah, Bob, traffic's a little worse than it was in 1980.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little.
So.
Bob, any thoughts about what you're seeing in the markets right now and the meltdown that we saw in crypto?
We could get a little sunshine on the typical Santa Claus rally, but the internals of the stock market, advanced decline line, is not healthy, and it hasn't been. It peaked in November a year ago, and the critical breakdown was in the first week in January a year ago. And then that was it for one of the things that said that, hey, the stock market's all over. You have had the big buzz about inflation is back, 1970s inflation, but no, there has been a serious jump in consumer prices and wholesale prices, but this was due to the extraordinary thing of shutting down production and cranking up the money supply. But it's not going to be endemic like the 1970s inflation. The highly touted commodities all peaked last May and are down substantially, and crude oil, it's been very weak since the middle of June. But yes, there is still inflation of items that you want to buy and take home and consume, but the real underlying part isn't there. And so in like the big inflation that peaked in 1980, directly related to that huge boom in commodity prices, and then whoosh, the commodity prices rolled over and down they went, and the rate of inflation came down, and down quite a bit. So then this is what you have now, is that the boom in commodities that you might have had as the bubble concluded was made a whole lot worse by all the COVID stuff. So we've been through pretty extraordinary times. But I think we're on a recession, a global recession, and there will soon be plenty of supply of everything. And the problem is that when you have an inflationary boom, it's hardship because there's not enough things around. And then when you get into the bust afterwards, people have discovered to find it's hardship with plenty of stuff around. So it's unfortunate. I think it'll happen again. And so there'll be weakness in home prices. I did an article, a thorough article this week on real estate, covering residential prices and farmland prices, because I could get a pretty long history on that. And in England and in the United States and in Canada. And one of the things that was amazing is in Ontario, province of, the rise in farmland values was way more than in the States. And of course, you know, Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland and stuff like that. But it has been a very dynamic boom in residential and in agricultural land. And I think it has done its best. And as this article pointed out, the next direction is likely to be south and quite severe. It seems strange to be able to say that, but when you've got previous examples like after 1929 and you got the numbers on farm land values and stuff like that, and then also I've got the numbers on farmland values in England from the bubble of 1873, And oh, here, I got it right in front of me here. Yeah, farm sale prices, 1859 to 1914. So it peak was in the 1873 bubble was at 55 off the chart. And by the, and that depression ended in 1895. And the value of farmland was down to 20. So it went from 55 to 20 in 20 plus years. So, yeah, one has to be wary of major changes in these financial markets.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, good to be with you and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.